Morning Watch, Colossians Week 2, Christ the Preeminent One and the Mystery of God's Economy, Saturday, Colossians 1:28-29, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ, for which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. Related verses, Colossians 2:1, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea, even all who have not seen my face in the flesh. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a slave of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Ephesians 1:19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength? Ephesians 3:20, but to him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us. Ephesians 4:13, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the word of the beginning of Christ, let us be brought on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith in God. 1 Timothy 4:6, if you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks as speaking oracles of God, if anyone ministers as ministering out of the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. Portions from the footnotes. Colossians 1:28, footnote 1, full grown, or perfect, complete, mature. Perfect denotes full in quality, whereas complete denotes full in quantity. The apostles' ministry, whether in announcing Christ or in admonishing and teaching men in all wisdom, was altogether to minister Christ to men, that they might become perfect and complete by maturing with Christ as the element of the divine life unto full growth. Colossians 1:28, footnote 2, in. The preceding verse says that Christ is in us. This verse, that we are in Christ. First, we are put into Christ, then Christ is in us. The more we get into Christ, the more he comes into us. And the more he comes into us, the more we get into him. It is by this cycle that we grow in life. Colossians 1:29, footnote 1, struggling or contending as in wrestling. Colossians 1:29, footnote 2, power. The power of the resurrection life, which operated within the apostle and operates within all the believers. By such an inward operating power of life, the gift of grace was given to the apostle, that is, produced in him. The inward power referred to in 1:19-20 is God's resurrection power, not his creating power. God's creating power produces the material things in our environment, whereas God's resurrection power accomplishes within our inward being the spiritual things for the church. Portions from the life study messages. Paul's ministry, whether in announcing Christ or in admonishing and teaching every man in all wisdom, was to minister Christ to others, so that they could be perfect and complete by maturing with Christ unto full growth. To become full grown in Christ is a matter of life. Christ must be added into us. Then we need to grow in Christ and gradually gain more of the stature of Christ. eventually, as Christ is wrought into us, we shall become full grown in Christ. May our eyes be open to see that the goal of our work and ministry must be to minister Christ to others, so that they may grow with the measure of Christ, who is the mystery of God's economy. In 1:29, Paul said that he struggled according to Christ's operation within him. This struggle was his labor to present every man full grown in Christ. He endeavored to do this by announcing Christ, by admonishing every man, and by teaching every man in all wisdom. The operation of Christ operates in us in power. Every saved person has at least some experience of Christ's operation. To be saved is not merely to have our sins forgiven and to be justified by God. It is also to have Christ imparted into us. The Christ who dwells in us also operates in us. His operating becomes the operation that operates in us. Paul's struggling for the saints was according to this operation. Some saints may feel that they sense very little of Christ's operation within them. The reason for this lack is the shortage of prayer. We need to go to the Lord with a repentant heart and say, "Lord, I am still so natural, so much in the self and in the old man. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me with your precious blood. Lord, I desire to be enlightened, purified, and made transparent. I ask you to show me what you want of me. Expose me so that I may be filled with you." If we pray in this way, Christ's operation will have a way to operate within us. Christ's operation operates in power. Paul refers to this power in Ephesians 3:7-20. In Ephesians 3:7, he speaks of the operation of his power, and in 3:20, of the power which operates in us. This power is the power of resurrection life within the believers. It is the very power that operated in Christ to raise him from the dead, to seat him at God's right hand in the heavenlies, and to subject all things under his feet. Hence, this power is the resurrection power, the transcending power, and the subduing power. According to Christ's operation in such a power, we may struggle to present others full grown in Christ. What Paul did in struggling to present others full grown in Christ is an example which serves for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ. It is to struggle according to the operation of Christ that operates in us. That is to labor by the resurrecting, transcending, and subduing power within us.